We'll do a brief meditation. Let's sit with our back erect and our eyes closed. Let's take a deep breath in and let go. Another breath in and relax. Incoming breath energizes the body. An outgoing breath brings relaxation. Become familiar with this phenomena happening all the time. Deep breath in and let go. Become aware of your physical body. And place your entire weight on the chair you're sitting on. Deep breath in and let go. Take your attention to the base of your spine. Now take your attention to the top of your head. As you breathe in, the attention goes to the top of your head. Breathe out, base of spine. Breathe in, top of the head. Breathe out, base of the spine. Continue with your own breath. Deep breath in and relax. Become aware of your body and your surroundings. And when you feel complete, you may open your eyes.
Thank you, Linda, for a beautiful prayer, and Rajneesh for teaching Art of Happiness this weekend and helping us to get grounded in this moment and connected. Thank you. I have to be honest, sometimes as a minister, it's a little challenging to stay connected like I would like. Does anybody else have that issue where sometimes you just feel unconnected, like this week? I mean, I got to tell you, there were a couple of times this week where I just sort of put my hand in my head and said something like, what is going on? What is happening in this world? And it's in those moments that I get to use the unity tools and try to reconnect and get regrounded again. And this week what I did was I began to think about, what are my connections to you? What are my connections to friends and family? What are my connections to the entire world? And the picture that I kept thinking about that kept coming up for me was a picture that I showed you a couple weeks ago, and it's a quote here by Rosemary Fillmore, but look at that world, look at that planet. And she says, the world we are experiencing today is the result of our collective consciousness. And if we want a new world, each of us must start taking responsibility for helping create it. She's not saying, oh, that political party, or that person, or this person. She talks about the impact that each of us can make. I'm starting a series this week, a three-week series, for us to challenge ourselves to get dialed in to what is our connection with Spirit. How do we expand that? What is our connection with each other? And what is our connection and our role in this seemingly volatile world? Now, speaking of getting connected, way back in the day, there was something called Connection Central, or a switchboard, where people would call in. This is something, it was developed by, who developed the telephone? Alexander Graham Bell, the father of the telephone. And so you would dial in, and there was a switchboard operator, there was an intermediary, if I said that properly, who would step into the flow of your connection. And you remember, Mayberry, Andy Griffith's show, call up and say, Betsy Sue, or whatever her name was, could you patch me through to Aunt B? And it was like magic to them back then to be able to get connected with Aunt B like that. I had a gentleman at the end of the 9 o'clock service come and tell me, he goes, I have a story. He said, in 1966, I was in Germany, and I called Kansas to talk to my grandmother, and I got the operator, and her name was Eileen. And I said, Eileen, I need to be put in touch with, and he gave his grandmother's name. He didn't know the operator. But then the operator named Eileen says, oh, yeah, I know where she is. She went home about 20 minutes ago. She should be at home by now. That's in 1966. It's a little different communicating even then than the world that we have today. When I was young, I remember something. I was so excited. First, second grade, I got something called a CB radio. That was an amazing piece of magic for me, because it would sat in my room, and with sweaty palms, I would get that, whatever they call it, a mic, whatever, click it, and it would go, and I'd say, breaker 19, anybody got their ears on a rubber duck? And I would just wait and wait. It's not like now, you know, but I would just wait, and all of a sudden, somebody would come back and talk to me. Man, I thought, I'm going to be a trucker. This is so cool. I want a truck. These guys are awesome. And I tried to learn that lingo to be able to communicate. How many of you out here have dialed and connected with somebody through something called a rotary phone? Maybe I should ask it a different way. How many of you, raise your hand, don't be shy, if you've never reached out and connected with someone with a rotary phone, raise your hand. Front row, anybody? Millennials? I know there's some of you down here that have not, so what I did for your convenience today is I brought an example. Now, this one is older, even older than me, for sure. But what would happen is, it's pretty. What would happen, it's kind of heavy, too. No wonder everybody was so thin back then, trying to carry these things. So what would happen is, you would actually pick up this receiver, you'd put it up to your ear like this, and you would do this dolly thing. You would go, 8675309. Yeah, then what would happen is somebody would pick up the other phone. Now, if nobody picked up your connection, it would ring for forever as the cows come home, until the cows come home, or whatever we say in Texas. But it would ring forever, especially before voicemail, right? But sometimes somebody would pick up and they'd say something like, hello. And then you'd say something like, how you doing? And then you guys might just talk about pretty much nothing. I mean, for hours, because there really wasn't all these ways to connect with people back then, like through internet and all this. So you would just pick up the phone and talk about whatever, just have that connection, right? And then when you get done with that, you would kind of get to where you would just sort of,
hello, James, I'm here.
Howdy. I'm not sure why I'm looking into the ceiling right now. Is this God?
Yes, but not like you are thinking. I am you.
What? Oh, it's a test. Is this a test? Like when Jesus said unto them in John 10:24, isn't it written in your law that ye are gods?
Well, yes and no.
Okay, number one, how's this even working? It's not plugged in. Okay. Number two, are you a politician? Because you sure are flip-flopping a lot.
I am you.
I am that I am?
I am you from the future.
What? Wow. What's your 20 come back there rubber duck, eh? Did you say that you are my future self?
Yes, it's true. You have called your future self.
Well, isn't that a peach? Okay, well, I have a lot of questions. How does this work? Do I get 3 wishes? Do I just start asking you questions, or how does this work?
Ask away.
Okay, I have lots of questions. So where's Jimmy Hoffa? And I've got some questions about Marilyn Monroe. I've got, but let's start with this. Okay, look. In the world right now, you know, the world, when I just look at it, I get so confused. I mean, do I march? Do I not march? Do I wear pink? What do I do? I'm getting lots of pressures, and sometimes I just don't feel connected, and I don't know what to do. Can you help me?
Calm down, peace be still, and all that stuff. Just because something appears chaotic in the present doesn't mean it's all that bad. We have been there before. It had to be hard sometimes, but good things will come. For today, which is all present me needs to think about, go back to basics. Remember the first Unity book me mother received while in the hospital with tuberculosis. Do you have that?
Yeah. Hold on, let me check my Unity books that I keep with me everywhere. These old Unity books. Oh, you're talking about probably either Teach Us to Pray by Charles and Cora Fillmore or Healing Letters.
No.
What about Atom Smashing Power of the Mind by Charles Fillmore that I still don't quite fully understand?
No, not that.
Okay. Oh, of course. Lessons in Truth by Emily Cady.
No.
Oh, of course not. Okay. Oh, I remember. No. I remember. It was the book that my mother got that helped her heal, and the book that she gave me called God is the Answer. Yes, God is the Answer. That's it. Hey, future me, I remember this book well. I memorized it. I remember a quote off the top of my head. Can you give me the quote? Because I don't actually remember. Here it goes, future me.
James, I can see you.
You can't you? Okay, well, if you can see me, future me, and present me, let's say this together with everyone. This plan has worked for me.
In every human difficulty, I have learned to center on God as the way out. God is the answer.
So by Dana Gatlin, yes, I remember that book, and yes, God is the answer. And the answer seems so simple, doesn't it? And while you're there, future me, can you tell me who's going to win the Super Bowl next year? Because I talked about resilience last week, and some things happened. Hello? Hello, future me. That is just like me to leave me in suspense. And then you put it on the receiver like that, and that's how that works. Wouldn't it be great to get a call from your future self? Yeah, at Toastmasters Thursday, I talked about a lady who wrote a letter to her past self, telling her it's going to be okay not to get so serious about what you think your definition of success is and whether you land a movie role or not. But the idea of the future calling us, and I like what Carl Edwards told me a little while ago, that she often will go through a prayer process where she will bless that past self and then empower that future self and get in alignment, because time is a little bit of an illusion anyway. This book is pretty fabulous. If you want a copy of this God of the Answer book, written in 1938 by Dana Gatlin, you can go by the book nook on the way out, and we are keeping a list, and we'll email you a link to the book. It's pretty amazing. When you open up the first page, it's just a page that could meditate on. She says, these articles were written out of my own experience, because it was articles first, and then it turned it into a book. When asked whether I believe in the power of a prayer, I reply, yes, I have reason to. When I first sought help from God, I was sick and discouraged. And it is through the study and application of the principles that Jesus Christ taught that my life has been transformed. We are all children of the Almighty God and inseparable from God, in whom we live and move and have our being. God is spirit, omnipresent, and omnipotent. And when uplifted consciousness, we realize our oneness with God and can claim all blessings in the glad assurance that they are ours already. So I encourage you to possibly get this book and look at it. But the other thing that I read this week was in the newspaper. I finally brought myself to reading a little bit of the sports pages. The first page I started reading, and it was very optimistic. He was like, we have reason for optimism, but. And then it went into the other things, you know, the reasons we don't have optimism or the reasons that we have to worry. So I kept reading, and then there was a list, and he said, here's five things why we have optimism for the Cowboys next year, and here are five reasons to worry. And I just kind of glossed over those really fast. But what about in our life? How often do we sit down and we want to be optimistic about the world, about what's happening? Or we want to be optimistic about what we are supposed to do with our passions and with our life and our spiritual walk? But the buts get in there. No buts. None of that. I'm going to actually teach you two words a little bit later on that you can use when those thoughts get in there and start sabotaging the moment that you were in. But a little interesting exercise would be to actually do what they did in the sports page and pull up and challenge yourself five reasons to be optimistic. Now, according to this book, that God is the answer, and the book that helped heal my mother from tuberculosis, God first probably should be the first thing. Spirit first, source first, God first should be number one. Then it's from that place, tomorrow, the next day, when those challenges and you get where you don't feel connected with what's going on and maybe even depressed, that you can get answers by starting there, starting with God. That's the most important thing. Then if you were to have five reasons to really identify why you might be worrying, you might would say, yeah, paradigm. My paradigm is more of fear right now than it is of optimism. And where is that coming from? What is my paradigm? Like we've been talking about the last couple weeks here, considering those thoughts and those beliefs that create actions, create results. Thoughts and mind held after kind, right? So I like this idea of unity right here in Psalm 133:1, and this is all through Scripture, and not just the Bible, but many scriptures out there since the history of time. It talks about how good and pleasant it is when we live, when God's people live together in unity. John Townsend was a leader amongst leaders. He's an executive coach, and he's a keynote speaker all around the world. And even in his leadership meetings, he will say, hey, the message of Scripture is that God wants us to connect with both God and also with each other. So the message is not only connect with the people that believe like you do. Only connect with people when they're saying on the news what you want them to hear or what that party is saying or not saying. There is a video I want to show you that when we start having those thoughts that are separating us from connecting with our brothers and sisters or connecting with the world or connecting with ourselves, there are a couple words in this video. Now, certainly intermediaries are helpful. If you have a coach, if you have a spiritual coach, if you have a counselor, a priest, a minister, a teacher, we can plug in by sometimes working and having help. And some situations in our life take longer than others to resolve. So sometimes it's not so simple, I understand that. But sometimes it is simple. Sometimes we can stop ourselves when our head's in our hand and stop ourselves with these two words in this video right here.
Has anyone ever tried to bury you alive in a box?
No, but truly thinking about it does make my life horrible. I mean, I can't go through tunnels or be in an elevator or in a house, anything boxy.
So what you're saying is you're claustrophobic.
Yes, that's it.
All right, well, let's go, Catherine. I'm going to say two words to you right now. I want you to listen to them very, very carefully. Then I want you to take them out of the office with you and incorporate them into your life.
Shall I write them down?
Well, if it makes you comfortable, it's just two words. We find most people can remember them.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, here they are.
Stop it!
I'm sorry?
Stop it!
Stop it?
Yes, S-T-O-P, new word, I-T.
So, what are you saying?
You know, it's funny. I say two simple words, and I cannot tell you the amount of people who say exactly the same thing you're saying. I mean, this is not Yiddish, Catherine. This is English. Stop it.
So I should just stop it.
There you go. I mean.
I love the look on her face when he says the answer, because it's so simple that she can't comprehend it, you know? And before that scene, when she comes in, he tells her, look, here's how I work. Your counseling session is going to last last 5 minutes. And then you give me $5. And she goes, that's it? It sounds so simple. Are you sure? He goes, yeah. He said, you won't need any more than 5 minutes. So then after this scene, she starts talking about some other issues. And he's like, stop it. And then she said, he goes, okay, well, that's only been about 3 minutes. And she says, but I only have a 5. And he says, well, I never make change. So she sits down for 2 more minutes. And then eventually he gets her to get out the money and it ends. But it is amazing, these thoughts that we have sometimes. And, you know, I've just been watching both sides of this, the issues this week. And, you know, turning on the TV and some people saying, why is it a sea of pink? And other people saying, ooh, it's a sea of pink. Isn't that amazing how divisive we can get? We are all human beings together on this planet. But what I did notice that was very interesting for me, the coverage I watched, is that, there were some angry people, obviously, but by and large, a lot of people were smiling. You were there. And did you notice, did it feel like a coming together? And people had different reasons and things they wanted to speak out with, but they came together. That's the important part. That's the unity. So somewhere in there is how we can be successful moving forward. In fact, I would like to start a new party, a political party, or a party called the Success Party. And let's put that up here. Yep. Now, when I sent that to Bob, he called me and he said, "The Success Party? Are you missing something here? Are we having a party, or what's going on here?" I was like, "No, it's the Success Party." And what the Success Party means is that no matter who you are, you honor your brother and sister, and you can speak out and not stand for discrimination of any kind. I had a meeting with Faith Forward, the multi-faith group, important group that I belong to this week, and we wrestle with that, not physically, but we wrestle because it is different faiths, but all of us stand for no discrimination. It's just how do you make a stand for it without seeming this way or that way, right or left, and all of that. And we've come up with some pretty good things, but whether you are excited by the inauguration or shaken by the inauguration, I think that coming together and being in unity is something that we can all embrace. And if we can't embrace it, what's happening there? You're losing your connection. That adverse part of our ego is edging God out, right? That's what ego can stand for, edging God out. So God first. And the other thing about the Success Party is that no matter how you stand with what's going on, you can't go just dig a hole and wait out for 4 years. That's not part of the success story. Check out this quote with the dandelion here. When we stifle the need for connection, we sacrifice a healing, intimacy, companionship, forfeiting the opportunity to unfold that which cannot be discovered in solitude. Now, unity, we talk a lot about going into solitude. We know that we have to go into prayer and meditation, that that's where the magic is. But it's from that God first place that then you can take the fifth principle of unity serious and step into action and realize it's not just about me. It's not just about past me, current me, future me, the note of me. We've got to get involved and we've got to celebrate life. We owe, the Success Party owes love to America. And that means everyone, even the ones you disagree with, even your brother sitting across from the table. You might disagree with your brother, but you're still family. So we are all brothers and sisters in that way. So if we want to have a chance for that, we got to expand our consciousness. We got to be better leaders ourselves and be willing to inspire others by the way we act and the way we pray and the way that we connect. No matter what your handicap is, I love this picture here. Success isn't just about you, what you accomplish in your life. It's about what you inspire others to do. And you can see his foot there, his handicap, but he's running hard anyway. What are your tools that you're employing every single day towards this? One of the things I look at is this, you know, I like my acronyms, SUCCESS. S is see your goal, right? You need to know what your goal is. understand the obstacles. So that's like would help people a lot to understand what are the facts on the ground. What is the truth on the ground so that I can understand what we are up against on the planet as opposed to what this person or that media is saying. Create a positive mental picture. So that's the power of imagination right there. Clear your mind of self-doubt. I love that one. Embrace the challenge. Stay on track. Show the world you can do it. And yes, success seems connected with action. Successful people, you always watch them. They don't quit. They just keep going. They just keep going. So that's the resilience I talked about last week. One of the things I really liked about our Friday night unity, the way we're expanding our ministry here, and alternative experience doesn't mean or the opposite of or anything like that. It just means this is an additional way for you to connect. And we had 45 plus people there, and when we were finished, I remember standing in Fellowship Hall and my whole body was just sort of vibrating. It felt so good to use the sound healing for the planet, to use the sound healing for each other and for ourselves. So I hope that it becomes where, not hope, but it will, when so many people are just circling every Friday night of the month to decompress maybe from their week and to come to a unity Friday night to get your weekend going. And we'll do sound healing, but other things too. The first Friday, we have, of course, Gary Floyd next Friday. That's going to be amazing. And the following Friday the first Friday of February, there's a movie. It's a 12 Powers movie. It's the first in a series of three called The Sounds of Unity. And many of you guys know Ed Townley. He was the senior minister during some transition points in the history here. He was a producer on it. And James Tymon is the director, and he's done, award-winning filmmaker, New York Times bestseller. But I've asked a lot of questions. I haven't seen it yet, but I've asked a lot of questions, and I have watched the trailer, and it's done well. It's done right. The production value and the music is amazing. And I talked to some other churches that have screened it, and it's awesome that the, Charles Fillmore book about the 12 powers is now becoming more mainstream. Other faiths are looking at it as a guide. And one of the powers at the very end of, as we look at connections and who we're connecting with our family and our brothers and our sisters here, the slide that came up is about life at the end of the movie. The 12th power that really focuses on is life. Can you bring that quote up? It talks about the origin of the world. So the origin of the word, heaven is, what a coinkydinky, expansion, which is our theme for the year. I did not know that. I did not know that, so that's one of those synchronistic moments. And I know many of you wrote expansion on your stone for the white stone ceremony. After the 9 o'clock service today, a man came up and told me, Gary Hicks came up and told me, and he says, I've got to show you my stone. Because on one side it said expansion, and on the other side it said success. Wow. Yeah, love that. And he's been taking it everywhere. I said, bring it next week. He goes, I take it everywhere I go. Through airports, through security, everywhere. So the origin of the word heaven is expansion, and life is about expanding love, faith, consciousness. That's something we should meditate on, and in fact, we will. It is eternal and ever evolving. Life is what energizes or regenerates all the other powers. Without life, there is nothing. So we are going to go into a meditation, a prayer now that I want you to just really feel the life you are, that connection central life that you are, and just breathe with that. Listen to the words in this song where it discusses faith and love and life.